Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island and also the Game Brand podcast. And joining me is the hilarious and wonderful and supremely talented Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Rose podcast. What's going on, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Ben.
Hello. This is a big, exciting day for us because we are adding some Married to Medicine Los Angeles onto the roster. Heyo.
Hey, I'm so sorry I wasn't heyoing you. I'm scrolling through Instagram comments to get our business shoutouts.
Oh yeah, I gotta do that too. Let me pull that up.
I was like, Ben can talk. I'll just sit over here and vape while I look over my...
I can talk. Wait a second. No one told us that Karen Huger wrote on our Instagram.
Well, she just said, thank you.
Yeah, that's all. She's never acknowledged us before. I'm just looking at it right now. So for those of you who don't know, Ronnie put up a post saying basically like we like, you know, support black businesses, etc. And it's like a collage of some of the Bravo black owned businesses. And one of course, La Dame is part of that. And so someone's It's Me C said the only Karen I will support. You know, hashtag the Grand Dame. And so official Karen Huger said, laughy smiley face and double heart.
There you go. Breaking news. I should have sent that to you.
Security.
So the first business is Feel More Adult. They're an Oakland and Berkeley sex shop. So lots of sex toys. So listen, you know, this is quarantine time. Get your damn sex toys, okay? Stop going out there making out with everybody, people. Be sexual at home with yourself or with your partner with some toys, okay? They are called Feel More Adult. You can find them on Instagram, and there's a link to their website there where you can buy stuff. Feel More Adult.
Oh, awesome. Here is here's a recommendation that came from both Linda Johoho and Laura Lee Balanced. That she said that Laura Lee Balanced had a great recommendation on her page for the cookbook Soul Food Love by Alice Randall and Caroline Randall Williams, who is at Caro Ran Will, CaroRanWill. WILL. Yes. She gives a wonderful introduction to these fabulous ladies too. So the point is, check out the cookbook Soul Food Love. I think that counts under the umbrella of business, of a cookbook. So Soul Food Love by Alice Randall and Caroline Randall Williams. Ronnie and I, of course, love our food. We love cooking. We actually did a bonus episode a few weeks ago about some of our favorite recipes that we've been cooking in quarantine. I already have some updates to that. I already have some great new recipes I've been able to cook. So check that out. Soul Food Love by Alice Randall and Caroline Randall Williams.
And there you go. To send us recommendations for a black-owned business, just email us at watchwhatcrappens@gmail.com and put in your subject title, black-owned business, shout out, so we can get you. Now we are on to Married to Medicine Los Angeles.
Yes. So we're actually in the sixth episode now. Our schedule had been just kind of like crazy. So now we have some holes in our schedule. So we are welcoming Married to Medicine into the fold of Los Angeles.
When there are spinoffs, those are usually the first to go when we're overscheduled. So Married to Medicine LA got the boot, and so did Below Deck Sailing Yacht. But here we are.
So previously on the season, I mean, we can do like a little catch up of what's going on. Basically, we have Imani, who is, for me, by far my favorite cast member of the show. She is a psychiatrist. She's got this striking bald head, which I love. I love that look. And her whole thing is that her marriage is falling apart, basically. And her husband, Phil, is he went to Oklahoma to open up like a medical marijuana shop, or right? Isn't that what he did?
Yes, he's doing something in marijuana, something in weed.
Yeah.
And she finally, in the last episode, she told everybody, and it was really funny because she was fighting with the blonde lady because she went to her house last season and was like, this looks like a drug dealer's house, which it totally did, by the way.
Yes.
And it was like Scarface, you know, it was like over, it was just like over the top. They were like, where's this money, you know? But then that girl got really offended by it, and that's been their fight this whole time.
It's like
been,
all of like, last season, and it came into this season too.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm just like always been really more into drugs than other people, but I'm like, that's a compliment. I mean, it's a gorgeous home.
Yeah.
It's just, well, just like, how does anybody afford this? It's amazing.
But also, like, why are you so offended to the point that you're going to make this like the cornerstone of your feud with?
Yeah, like, I took it like as a fun Dr. little Amani. Comment, not like, oh, you think my boyfriend does drugs? It's like, what? I don't think that it was a literal thing.
Yeah, she took it and she ran with it, so much so that when this season started, there was still like a massive beef between them, where Dr. Amani is like, you know, I'm cool with her, I just don't like really care about her. I don't like. Like, I'm just not going on my way. And then Jasmine is still mad. Like, she called my house a drug dealer's house. It's like, okay, girl, you really need to relax on that front. It's just not a big deal and not the end of the world.
She stayed mad. And it was really funny because Amani actually apologized. You know, she didn't want to, but she's like, I'm sorry. And then they said they were going to get over it, but she was still mad. So then they went to another party. And they've been bugging Amani all season. Like, what's going on with your man? Why is he gone? That's not normal that he's gone. And something's got to be wrong in the marriage. And so she started to come for her. And she goes, well, actually, I have an announcement to make. He's been away because he is actually delving into the medical marijuana field, which means that I'm living in a drug dealer's house. And they were like, ah, ha, ha, ha.
But the other thing, though, is that, like, they, in the first episode, they or first and sort of the second, because it was like it was a cliffhanger at this party. They had a cocktail party because Toya, Quad, and Heavenly were in town. So they had this whole party. And so they finally like squashed their beef a little bit. But then Jasmine got mad at Dr. Amani again, because she's like, you know, she said that we're going to be friends, but then she's like not opening up to me about her husband. Everything's just very surfacey. It's like, he's fine. He's fine. He's fine. So I don't feel like she's really opening up to me. So Jasmine worked herself back up into a tizzy. Because basically she's hungry, okay? She's hungry, and that's what's fueling all her ridiculous arguments with people, okay? She does not eat a thing. And all season long, it's like, I'm going to have a salad, no dressing, please, thanks. And by salad, I just mean only 2 leaves of arugula, thank you so much.
Yeah, that girl would try to do a calorie count on a fingernail, for sure.
Yeah.
There's that, and let's see, what else has been happening?
Well, we have Dr. Kendra. Dr. Kendra is new. So we meet her. She gets into a fight with Heavenly right in the very first episode because Kendra is married to he's Asian. I don't remember his nationality. I think Chinese. I think he's Chinese Canadian.
Yeah.
Right. And so of course Heavenly is basically like, so does he have a small dick? And Kendra basically is like, fuck you.
Yeah. Kendra lets her have it. And I was like, okay, well, she came to play. She's not taking any of Heavenly's crap.
Yeah. So Kendra has been like, you know, she's been kind of like one of the big personalities of the season, I would say. She's had a lot of camera time. I love her mom. So Kendra, her mom is Vietnamese. And at one point in the season, Kendra had a party and she wanted her mom to cook all this Vietnamese food for her friends. And the mom's like, no, I'm not going to do that. So Kendra hires a chef instead. And the chef is like a white guy. And then her mom spends the entire party just like standing over this guy's shoulder and just berating him for everything he's doing wrong.
I know. And he just kept looking around like, great. Is anybody going to help me out here? They're like, nope. Have fun.
She's like, you wash the rice? Really? You wash the rice? He's like, yeah, I do. All right, can someone get this bitch out of my face? I can't say that because I am hired help right now, so I'll just smile.
And then Dr. Britton, paging Dr. Britton, Dr. Amani. Britton's storyline last year was that she wanted to move to L.A., but her husband didn't.
Yeah.
And she's Contessa's friend. She's like Contessa's bestie. Yeah. And so she ended up getting him to move. So now they live here. They live in, did it say Porter where Ranch. They live?
So, yeah, this is a very far-flung cast because she lives in Porter Ranch and Shanique lives in San Gabriel. Those are not close to each other. This is farther. I feel like it's farther than Pasadena to Malibu on Beverly Hills. I mean, Porter Ranch is like, that is, I mean, that's actually where Cynthia and Chahil, the Chahil family live. But it is far.
And San Gabriel is like where the San Gabriel Mountains are, right?
Like San Gabriel is like actually where Pasadena is, but like San Gabriel, like we don't actually know what town that they live in, but like San Gabriel encompasses, Pasadena is on the west side of San Gabriel, but San Gabriel goes all the way out to like West Covina, that whole area. Like, I don't know where they are, but San Gabriel and Porter Ranch, that is a, they are, that's a long distance show, basically.
They're far flung. So she's now got her husband and her kids there, but she doesn't sleep with her husband. She sleeps with her kids. So her storyline is, again, kind of like not giving her husband the attention he wants.
Yeah, but he's also a dick, and I'm not sure that he really deserves more attention than he's getting, because he complained all last season he complained, and this season all he does is roll his eyes and complain. He's just like, I don't know. I think that he's a real dick. I can't stand him.
I think he's so hot that I just forgive things, you know? Like, I don't see stuff like that. I feel like it's really hard for hot people to be that hot, you know? And, like, maybe you just have to be rude to keep people off of you, you know? Because, like, that guy's so hot, I would just be like, hey, let's, you know what we should do today? Just look into my eyes. That'd be great.
I don't think he's that hot. I think he's, like, good looking. I don't find him to be, like, super hot. I'm trying to think if, do I find any of the husbands that hot on this show? Actually, you know, Phil, I remember last season, because Phil has not really been in scenes this season except on via FaceTime. He was kind of hot. He was kind of hot.
He's a jerk in a non-fun way. Like, this other guy's a jerk, but like, he looks, I don't know, maybe he's just so hot, but I don't care. But Phil's just a jerk. Phil's like a not hot jerk to me, but this guy's hot. I don't know.
I just don't understand why he would rather, like, you have this badass, awesome wife, and this, you have a kid, a great kid, and you want to spend all your time opening up a dispensary in Oklahoma? I just don't get it.
Well, there's something fishy there for sure. And
well, I think
she's
she's
really private, and so she doesn't put all of her stuff out there, and so they're kind of trying to make her do that this year. And so she opens up a little bit today. She starts to kind of open up, but she doesn't usually. There's something fishy there. You know, like when they're talking on the phone, which we'll get to later, he's just looking at her like, seriously? Why are you... like, you don't know the answer to this? Like, really? Now we're going to make a scene about it? Like, there's something fishy that we're not privy to.
Yeah, I would agree. So we also have Leah. Leah is new. I don't really know who she is. She's just sort of, like, there. But I actually really like her because... She got into a fight with Shanique. Shanique is like, to me, Shanique is a non-entity. I think all her scenes are very boring. I don't think that she's very interesting. I think her husband is
baby voice.
I think her husband's cute, but he also has a terrible personality, and he's like very controlling and old-fashioned. And he also like, it bothered me that when it was Halloween and his daughter brought home all this candy, he made her throw it all out because he was afraid of razors being in it. And I'm like, that's like. That's not a thing. That's like a full-on like old wives' tale or urban legend or whatever you want to call it. And I'm like, you are a man of science. You are a doctor. Why are you believing these crazy?
Well,
like,
he probably just did
theories.
What my mom did, which was take her Halloween candy, tell us she was going to go study it all and make sure it wasn't poisoned or have razors, and then she took all the shit she wanted. Like, I noticed that we never got the peanut M&Ms back, you know? Like, how are they going to put a razor into that, you know? Like, where are the Reese's butter cups, the Reese's peanut butter cups, you know? They're, come on.
I was such a monster at Halloween. I remember that, like, no pun intended. I just remember one time I accused my brother of stealing one of my, there was like a Snickers bar that was like missing, and I accused my brother of stealing it. But it was like really kind of like hidden in a fold of like the plastic bag. And I got my brother in so much trouble over that stupid missing candy bar. And I was like, he stole all my candy. Like, I was the Karen before there were Karens. I was like little 8-year-old boy Karen, and to this day I still feel bad about that. I still feel bad about just like, because then I found the piece of candy, but then I was like, oh well, I can't say anything because I already like made Dan get into trouble.
Yeah, hate it. You're like, maybe no one has to know that he was
I'm
innocent.
Sure it was no big deal. No, he probably deserved it anyway, you know?
Like, other times he was mean to me. Yeah. So your little Halloween candy Karen. So
Halloween Karen.
Shanique's story is that she wants to start a real estate career and kind of be in charge of her own life, and her husband's like, no, you can't do that. I'm a man, you're a woman. What's gonna happen with the kids?
Yeah. By the way, they have very adorable kids. Very, very adorable kids. You know, I hate having to say that on this podcast, but they do have very adorable kids.
And then what is Jasmine's storyline? Because I don't really ever understand her storyline. Like, her biggest storyline was the fight over the drug dealer house. And then she found, yes, this year she decided to start a lifestyle rental brand, or like a luxury brand or something.
Yeah, her, like, because that house that they stayed in was like a rental. It was like an Airbnb. Like, she's turning the fact that she, like, opened up an Airbnb account into a storyline.
Okay, so, is that what it is?
Yeah. And then she's helping Kendra lose weight, because Kendra gained a lot of weight after the baby and professionally, so she's helping her lose weight. And there was also a beef between Leah and Shanique, because I guess Kendra, admittedly, there was one episode I kind of fell asleep in the middle of it, and I didn't go back, but Kendra had this, like, outfit that looked like a military onesie thing, and Leah made fun of it, and then Shanique, like, outed Leah for making fun of it at a party, and so Leah and Shanique have, like, a strained relationship now.
Yes. Yes. And then that's everybody so far, right?
Who did we More skip? Or less.
Okay. So this episode, Imani goes off to New Orleans to meet Contessa, and her and Britt go, because they all went to school at the same place, and so they're going to go give a speech, and then they're going to be walking in the parade, and they're special guests.
Yeah, so we open up, and, like, we're seeing flashes of what's going on around town, or around the country in this case. So Imani puts on a wig, which is like, ooh, like, if you ever wondered what she looks like with hair, here's your moment. So she has hair, and they're like, damn it, you look beautiful, like, no matter what you do, which is true.
And then, what's her face?
In LA.
Jasmine taking Kendra running, so she's basically the villain of the show at this point.
Yeah.
Because all she talks about are calories and exercise. And I'm like, okay, so you're the Gargamel of the show.
Yeah. I was like, please don't start the show up with sprinting. Like, why are you doing, like, I just settled into this couch and now I've got to watch sprinting. This is not fair.
Yes. And then we go over to Kendra's taking care of the baby. And then we go to Shanique's house, and she's telling her husband that it's his responsibility to make sure she has a good birthday. And he's like, I'm the man, you're the woman. Why should that be my responsibility?
He's like, before you dive into your birthday cake, I'm just going to have to inspect it for any razors. Okay, great.
And then, let's see, Imani, Britt, and Contessa meet up.
Yeah. They're in New Orleans. So we're back in New Orleans, and Contessa's getting her, like, Xavier glam on. Like, I think that she has a makeup artist. It says Xavier makeup artist. So I wondered, did the school give her a makeup artist for today? So she's getting her glam, and Imani comes in to talk to her. And Imani is, like, fully, like, she's got a full face of makeup. She looks like she's ready to host the morning news. I mean, she's like, bam. I'm like, oh, you are. I'm like, you are ready to go today, Dr. Imani.
And Contessa's always trying to eat everybody's food. And Imani's like, no. Okay. Do you want me to make you some of your own? This is mine. And she's like, but can I drink some of your coffee? No. But Britt has food. Can I have some of Britt's food? No. Okay.
Apparently, Dr. Britton would receive care packages in school and never share them. Which I wouldn't either. I mean, I never received care packages in college, but I probably wouldn't share them either. I'd be like, just like Gollum in the corner, just like eating. I already told you my Halloween story. What else do you guys need to know? Okay. It tells everything.
So then back in LA, Jasmine and Shanique are driving around, and Jasmine's like, oh, we need to stop at Creation so I could get a juice because we're going to be doing some aerial today with Kendra. You know, I just wanted to do something fun. You know, when someone's just starting to lose weight.
hanging upside down in front of strangers. Now, that's a way to get someone to commit to a lifestyle.
I hate her now. And you know, the thing, first of all, like, one thing I never hear is, hey, can we, I wish I'd gone to Creation to get a drink. Never, never. Have you been to Creation before?
No, listen, I've had enough of the Bible. You know, I was raised with the Bible, so I've heard enough of that story, all right?
For those of you guys who don't know what Creation is, I don't know if it's outside of Los Angeles or not. It probably is. It's like this. It's at least here in the city, it's a chain. Creation with a K, and you go in, and it's like super, super healthy stuff, and everything's like cleanses and stuff, and when you go to sit down, if you go to like the Creation Cafe, they serve you glasses of water, and they put a thing in the water that turns the water green, and it's like nutrients or something, and it's like, the whole thing is like very overpriced and pretentious. Healthy, yes, but like for some reason when Jasmine was like, I wish we could have stopped at Creation to get a drink, I was like, oh, I know who you are. I know who you are, and I'm not about it right now on my TV.
I see you.
Also, who wants to get a drink right before they turn themselves upside down for aerial fitness?
Yes, and she's also one of those people who totally doesn't understand food problems or overeating or food addiction or anything like that. She's like,
you know, Kendra came to me with urgency to feel better about herself, but she's doing something else.
And then we see a scene of her from last week going in and clearing all of Kendra's food out. And she tells her, hey, wait a minute. None of this stuff was in here after the first sweep. So that means you went back to the store and you bought stuff again. And she's like, but I had cravings. And then it cuts back to Jasmine, and she's like, I feel like she gives up easy. Like,
yeah. Oh. You know, it really is true. Fat people are lazy. Thank God for me, right?
It makes me crazy. And of course, I like look down to see what I was eating, you know, my big plate of pasta that I bought because I exactly. watched Top Chef. It's like, I hate you.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Higher than high-res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Shannon better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Oops, she did it again, it's Brittany Montano.
Simple as rocket science, it's Dana Easy.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
The incredible Edible. Matthews sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
She's Ferrelio, it's Lindsay Ferrelio.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Is a frog's ass watertight? It's Rose and Sadie.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
They go to Aerial Fitness, another trope in the Bravo, another arrow in the Bravo quiver.
Yeah, is no matter Aerial Fitness. No matter what city they're shooting in, they will find an aerial place to go to.
Yeah, it's Aerial Fitness. We'll have to put that. We have to remind ourselves to put that on the crappies ballot for the next ceremony for things that need to be retired from Bravo. Aerial Jeez, Fitness
for real. So. Kendra comes and she's like, aren't you excited to work out?
Yeah. And Kendra's basically like, I'm not going upside down. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. She's like, I'm not going upside down on anybody's rope. Like, what the hell, lady? So then Shanika's like,
maybe we should have started with Pilates or something.
And Kendra's basically telling us that she's just been very overwhelmed by heart is the baby, and Jasmine's like,
I get it. You know, when I adopted fitness into my life seriously, I was thick. I was like eating McDonald's. I was running to the drive-thru for food. And I mean, it was like really hard to like stop myself and say, you know what, today you're not going to buy that single French fry. No.
Yeah,
no.
I totally understand it. Like thickness. I mean, I would say Jack in the Rocks. I would go to McDonald's. You know, I loved Out and Out. Okay. I was huge. My butt was like as big as a bicycle seat. It was enormous.
I was out of control. I remember one time going to Taco Cello, and I was like, can I have just like a part of a gordita, please? And they would give it to me, and I was like, ew, I can't believe I'm eating this part of a gordita.
And Shanika's like, you guys have been through medical school, so this should be nothing. Okay, those are two very different things, okay? Medical school and working out are two very, very different things. Can we not equate intelligence with how much somebody works out? Thanks. That would be
yes.
Great.
Yeah. I know. That is really, like, obnoxious. So
I'm so triggered, by the way. Can you tell? I was, like, so mad. And now I'm so hungry because, like, now I want to rebel against the scene and just, like, eat. I'm like, what can I get on Grubhub that'll be back here by the time we finish recording?
I'm literally ordering something on from Panda Express right now. I'm like, I don't care. I'm getting Panda Express.
She's especially mad about Panda Express. Like, she hates Panda Express. She's like, Panda Express, how could you?
Yeah, Jasmine has, like, nightmares of pandas. She's like, and she thinks it's always benign at first. She's like, oh, look, it's the World Wildlife Federation. And then she finds out it's actually Panda Express coming for her. No!
And Kendra tries to explain. She's like, guys, look, I just get busy. I get busier, and then I'm busier, you know? And then when it's finally time to relax and eat healthy, I go to the pantry and I realize all my food is missing. And then I have to go to the store and buy more food, which is even more stressful. Because you threw away all my food.
Now, if Kyle Richards were in this scene, Kyle Richards would have said, are you saying that I'm not busy? Are you saying that I'm not? That's really not nice, because I am very busy, actually. Yeah. But Jasmine's just like, I would be listening to you, but you're not in the same weight class as I am. So I just sort of had to tune it out.
Yeah. So Kendra is looking to get a new job too, but she's not telling her husband because she thinks he's just going to say no. So she's doing it behind her back. And Jasmine's like, I don't know about secrets. I, for one, am not about keeping secrets. For example, anybody want to know my blood sugar level? Because I have it.
I'm very transparent, okay? And that's why I got so mad at Dr. Imani for saying I lived in a drug dealer's den, because if my husband were dealing drugs, he would have told me we have no secrets.
Yeah. So Kendra's basically like, look, I think they're going to offer it to me, but they, you know, they'll have to write up contracts and stuff. So I'm going to think about it and then I'll tell him. Like,
She's basically in the mindset of, if I don't get the job, I'm not even going to bother telling him. Because for some reason, she's scared of, is his name Hobart? I think his name is Hobart.
So, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm still new to this town. So then Imani FaceTimes her husband, Phil. And it's so awkward. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She's like, so, you know, I'm tired because we're in New Orleans. And it would be really fun if you could be here. And he goes, that's not real. This is my business. Okay? Yeah.
He's like, it's not realistic. It's not realistic for me to take a 2.5-hour flight and come support you at your homecoming, because I just have tens and tens of customers who sometimes come in.
Yeah, it's just so awkward to watch it. And she's like, well, am I wasting my time? Like, is this supposed to be what marriage is about? Because she says, are you going to come to see me? And he's like, I mean, maybe in a few weeks. I don't know.
Yeah. And so she's like, well, she's very vulnerable. Not vulnerable in this moment, but it's weird because she seems very tough on the show. Like, she is like no one's going to, like she seems like she has a, like, she can just sort of, like, take charge in any situation. But here she was actually oddly nervous, it felt like, because she's like, instead of saying, hey, she's like, do you want me to come visit? I'd like to come visit you. Where she sort of like sort of goes around there saying things like, she sort of beats around the bush saying things like, you know, I was talking to Brynn and Contessa, and they were saying that, like, they were saying these things like, I should force you to come back to LA, or maybe I should go to Oklahoma. Do you think want me to come visit you in Oklahoma? Maybe something like that. It was like oddly tentative, you know, for someone who seems like she just sort of like is a boss in all situations.
Yeah, she's like, well, I mean, like, if you're dying for me to come out there, I mean, I could make something happen. Like, are you dying for me to come out there? Are you dying for it? Are you dead? Because I could be out there right now. Just say the word. Say any word right now. And he's like, you know, it's deeper than that. I have a lot of work to do.
I got a lot of work to do. Like, are you getting your old band back together? Because...
Fair.
What is going on there? Okay. Seriously. Yeah. And then they hang up. They don't even say, I love you.
Yeah.
They're like, bye. Bye.
So they go to give, they go to speak. It's kind of a paneled discussion with students at the school. And, and it's pretty interesting. Contessa's like, well, we're big mouths. Just so you know, we're going to talk. Does anybody have any snacks that they would like to send to the front? That would be great. Sharing is caring, guys. Rule number one.
Also, I just want to make sure, is this room free of crabs? Because we don't want to have another situation like I have a Toya. Thank you very much.
So, the lady asks what motivates them to become physicians. And Amani's like, you know, my first doctor was black and that motivated me because it's really important to see yourself and your doctor.
Yeah, and Britton starts talking about how she was actually inspired by The Cosby Show, because it was like a wealthy black family, and the dad was a doctor, and the mom was a lawyer, et cetera. And Britton also talks about how, you know, she's asked about work ethic, et cetera, and saying how, you know, when you're black, you're held to a higher standard, so you have to sort of be like really on top of all your shit, et cetera.
Yeah, and then they're asked about microaggressions in the workplace, and Contessa's like, oh yeah, when people just assume you're a nurse instead of a doctor. And Amani's like, yeah, when I went to interview for my job, they asked me if I was okay being a staff psychiatrist, and I said, this application is for a medical doctor, and if you want to give me that, fine. If not, deuces! And then they called me half an hour later and offered me the job.
Yeah, which is good for her, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
So they're just giving out lots of advice.
Then Contessa does her answer. She basically like explains her storyline from her own show. She's like, listen, you know what I always say? YOLO. And also share your dessert. You know, you can do several things in this life. And you don't have to feel like you failed just because your mind changed and you wanted to do something else. And then your husband tried not to support you. And then all your friends tried not to support you with your husband. And then you got mad at your husband and they made an ass out of you on TV. So that's my answer for that.
I mean, look, you can either throw yourself into your studies, get an advanced degree, become successful, or you can be Toya, whatever you want. You know, your world is your oyster.
Some people want to help people. Some people want stairs in their closet. Okay?
Whatever you want.
Yeah.
So then we go back over to Shanique, and she's at home, and she's like trying to deal with her computer, which is restarting or something. And Dr. Robert comes home, and so she's poured him a beer, and is like, she's like, here, I heard you drive in, so here's a beer. I'm not buttering you up for anything at all. It's not like I've got a PowerPoint presentation in our tiny little living room over here, just giving you a beer.
Yes, she has made a PowerPoint presentation to convince him that her changing jobs and starting a real estate career is a good idea. Because she has to really sell it to him. And I'm like, you slap him on the head with the TV guide and you tell him, I'm going to do what I fucking want to, or you're going to be stuck taking care of these kids by yourself. Okay, thanks. See you later.
Yeah. Or maybe say, I'm not making a PowerPoint presentation. I've been living with this bachelor pad couch that has cup holders in it for 10 years. I deserve to make my own choices now.
Yeah. You either give me this or I take out the cup holders.
Seriously, because that couch, first of all, the couch doesn't even fit their living room. They have a small living room, no shame in that, but it's a
God,
small living
room.
God, I
knew you were going to be mad at that couch.
Yeah, well, because so they live in, you know, they live in a, you know, I don't know what you, it's like a housing community, or, you know, like condo. It's like where, how Dr. Britton lives in 1-2 or Cynthia. It's
like a condo?
They're technically houses. I don't know if they're condos, but they're sort of like, I think they're freestanding. So technically they're houses, but they're so close to each other. They're almost like townhouses but you know, it's like a planned community. And so it's not like they have a McMansion or anything like that, but they don't have a huge living room. And almost the entire floor space is with this I'm not sure if it was a sectional or just two giant bachelor couches, like the ones that Sheena used to have in her living room.
Yeah, it's because a Sheena couch.
Yeah, it's a Sheena thing where it's like basically for bros who like the legs go up and there's cup holders. And honestly, functionally, they're great. I mean, like, why do I complain about it? But they just look ugly.
Yeah, I knew that was going to make you mad. They represent.
Here's the thing. What's wrong with having cup holders right nearby and being able to put your feet up with like a, you know, a thing? That's great. But truthfully, they kind of like represent, like,
they represent bros. Drinking your shit on the couch. First of all, get your shit off my couch. How about that? Okay.
Yeah.
Like, you want to pull out tray for your food too? Go eat in the kitchen. Okay. Paid a lot of money for this couch.
It's just too large for that living room.
She does her PowerPoint presentation and she's like, why real estate? Well, it's an industry I have been familiar with for 15 years. Pros, I will be fabulous. Cons, I will be away from the family. And he's like, yep, that's a pretty big con. That's a pretty, pretty big con. But then he surprises everybody, I think, when he's like, listen, I just made you do a PowerPoint to make sure you were serious about it. And you seem serious. I mean, look at all that typing. I'm in.
I know. I love that, like, PowerPoint is now, like, a rubric on ambition, right? I mean, admittedly, I wouldn't put together a PowerPoint. That's too much work for me. But he's like, I gave you this test to see if you were serious, and all the pushback that I gave you really was to get you to really to think really heavily on what you're embarking on. But I can see you're serious, and honey, I love it. I love the time and energy you're putting into it. Yeah. I was like, that was really nice, but also incredibly condescending, too, by the way.
Yeah. So back in New Orleans, it's homecoming day.
So they're at the parade. They're doing the parade. They're throwing stuff. It's kind of funny because they're like, they're throwing all the stuff into the crowd. And but Imani is like talking about how she was such a loner in college and she didn't rush a sorority and all that.
Yeah. So. And she's hanging out with the two girls who did, you know, and they're so close. And Britt's like, her experience would have been so different if she just hung out with us, you know. And then they go to a tailgate party and Contessa runs into her ex. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. And of Which course, describes herself as Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Yeah. She also does an outfit change. She's like, oh, good. Now I can change my outfit. I'm like, why are you bringing an outfit change to the homecoming parade? Like, this is sort of like a not humbling experience, but it's like it's supposed to take you back to your roots and you're having a costume change.
Yeah. Well, she was homecoming queen. So we see a clip of her like sitting on the car giving a speech, and yeah, that is back to her roots. She's like, I'm a diva, I own this parade.
So then afterwards they go to Cafe du Monde, which we also saw on Real Housewives of Potomac, and Ronnie and I were lucky we didn't go to that location, but we went to another one, which was so fun.
Yeah,
God,
so
I feel
good.
Like, we're so lucky that we got to go to New Orleans before basically the world shut down. I feel like we are. Like,
I know that was
so,
an amazing.
So lucky.
That was an amazing last trip for us to take. Was that our? It was one of our last ones.
It was I think
so
our
nice.
Second to last one. Our last one was actually to the Heartland, to Kansas and Nebraska.
Yeah, those trips are always really cool to be able to go on, but that one was so special.
The New
and
yeah,
Cafe du Monde, wow. And I like that they sat down at the table and Contessa's like, listen, we know everything we want. We don't even need the menu. Guess what's on that menu? Beignets. Okay? That's it. There's nothing else on there.
Contessa's acting like she's a local, like she found this like hidden gem in New Orleans called Cafe du Monde. Guys, I know this great place called Cafe du Monde.
We don't even need the menu. It cracked me
up. So yeah, they're talking about Xavier and Imani starts saying how she needs to take time off for themselves. Why did I write that down? Were they talking about Will or Phil?
No, they're talking. She's like, well, because I think Imani's warming up now, like in the second season. She's like, okay, well, I can have girlfriends, you know? This was fun. Yeah. And she's like, we should take the time to check in with each other, you guys. Like, we should plan a year in advance where we make sure that we take this time together. And Contessa's like, yeah, you know, and now let's talk about your husband. She's like, so are you growing in two different directions? Tell us the truth. And she said that she had a talk with him and, you know, she would like him to be able to acknowledge that it's a that there's even a problem there, you know?
Yeah.
But even when he does come in town, he's like, oh, well, there's a game on, or his friend's in town, so he's going to go out. And yeah, she's just miserable, basically.
Yeah. He's not very present. It's always interesting, too. It's, you know, seeing mental health professionals who you would think would have some sort of perspective on these situations to, like, you know, to address them or figure them out, and, like, see mental health professionals just also be, you know, in, like, total, don't have their shit together just like the rest of us, you know. And admittedly, it's not like every mental health specialist, like, is a therapist necessarily, but I just sort of have this, like, stereotype that if you are a psychiatrist or psychologist, like, you understand all the problems of people, all the emotional problems, and that it should all be figured out. But of course, therapists are the ones with the most messed up.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I saw Prince of Tides. I understand. I know how it works.
Hey, listen, I can give you the best diet advice you've ever heard. It's just one of those things. So then Contessa does her pinky promises. Pinky promises will look out for each other. Pinky promises. And then we're back to regular life.
Did you notice with this episode, and I think this is going to be something we're going to see on a lot of Bravo shows, did you notice that, like, there was a good chunk, maybe like a third of, like, the interviews were clearly filmed on Zoom?
Yes, and there was, like, some echoing in
yeah, because that's how you could really tell, is the audio was off, and then, like, Jasmine's green screen that she set up for herself was, like, It was not a very good green screen. She,
like, just all had, like, the edges outlines of their head were all pixelated.
I mean, hey, you got to do what you got to do, right? But it was, like, funny to me. I was like, that was Zoom right there. I see it.
So then we go see Britton with her hot husband, and she's just checking in about the kids, and she's like, did anyone have attitudes? And he's like, well, the daughter, you know, our daughter's constantly rolling her eyes. And she's like, puberty's about to hit from 8 to 14. And he's like, can we give her a patch?
But he kind of frames it like it's her fault. He's like, well, she wasn't getting any work done while you were gone. Because you left, I don't think he said because you left, she wasn't getting work done, but he's like, you know, after you left, she wasn't getting any work done. He sort of, like, again, was kind of like, he's like a blamey husband. I feel like he blames a lot of stuff on her.
He's hot.
I'm glad that I'm not blind. I'm usually the one who's blinded by the husband's hotness. Yeah, but he's nice. I'm not blinded by him.
I think it's hard to tell in their relationship because they keep it pretty calm for TV, you know, but they're you know, all they've done really is argue. It's like, where do we live? You know, there's a huge argument about that, and I don't know. I think the storyline was so similar to Contessa's storyline on her season that I don't know. I don't ever know what side to take is basically what I'm saying with this one. I can't really tell yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like Scott a whole bunch more than this guy. Scott is Contessa's man.
No, I know. I was drinking.
I was like, did I shock Ronnie? Did I just have a hot take that shocked him into silence? Like,
no,
like Scott.
I was just drinking because I thought you were still talking.
So then we go over to Dr. Robert and Jasmine. They're, like, eating together and they're planning a birthday for Shanique. And he's like, I just want it to be something outside. And Jasmine just goes, horses.
He's like, well, she does love horses. So then we go to a photo shoot with Imani. She's doing her author photo shoot because she wrote a book. And she's like, you know, I mean, he's gone and I miss him, but I wrote a whole book. So, and then she basically talks about how, you know, people wouldn't expect a mental health professional to suffer from depression, but she does. And in the Black community, there's a stigma about mental illness, and she hears a lot, like, that's a white people problem. And she's like, yeah, mental illness doesn't have a face, which I liked. I've never heard that. And so basically just talks about her depression and then does, like, a kick-ass photo shoot. And also she wears gigantic necklaces. I mean, my God, that thing is huge.
She does. She's really, like, taking the statement necklace mantle, or would you believe it, girls? Someone took away my statement necklace statement.
It is enormous. So she talks about that a little bit, and then we go over to Kendra's office where Leah is bringing her daughter Kayla in for a checkup because Kendra was like, your kid has never been to the gyno. She's like, but that's for you know, babies or sex, and my daughter is never gonna have to worry about that kind of stuff.
Wait, I have to interrupt everything right now. This is an important announcement. There is a naked man across the street suntanning, and he doesn't think anyone can see him, but I can see him. This is big news, guys.
How does he think nobody can see him?
Because he has his own balcony. I mean, I can't, I can't actually see the nudity, but I could see like upper butt cheek. But like, he has his own balcony, and I think that he thinks that like he is basically unseen. I can't see the nudity, but it's kind of like that. It's like, I have a naked man neighbor. I'm proud to announce this has happened just right now.
I have a naked man neighbor.
Naked man neighbor.
It's time to get a super squirter.
Get inside. I don't need to see that.
Anyway, so naked man neighbor's here. So so Leah's at Dr. Kendra's office, and yeah, so she brought her daughter Kayla to like sort of have like her first, you know, meeting with the gynecologist and everything, which I can only imagine is just a full nightmare for a 15-year-old girl to have this happen on camera in front of the entire world.
Yeah, she's like, okay, so, you know, any questions about your body, vaginal discharge? She's like, oh my god, mother.
Yeah, and then she's like, okay, Leah, we're gonna have to ask you to leave the room. Okay, so now, just so you know, everything you tell me is fully confidential. It's just me and a camera broadcasting to the world. Are you sexually active?
Yeah, it's just us and a couple million people. So who you banging? All right. Anybody at school you've got a crush on? And she's like, they're all girls. Well, so what? Then at least like probably 15% of those girls have crushes on each other. Get in there.
Get in there. Go have some fun. Go have some fun.
Come on, lighten up.
Leah tells us that she basically had Kayla when she was 18, and that like she came from a really religious family where they didn't talk about sex or anything like that. They left it up for the church, but of course the church didn't do it either. And so the church would always say all the bad things that would happen, or like if you had sex or something, but they didn't talk about what would happen.
They would tell you the ramifications of sex, but they didn't tell you how to deal with, you know, like, hello, you're a human being and you're gonna have those feelings where you want to have sex, and what do you do with that, you know? And so she got pregnant really young, and so there was a lot in life that she didn't get to experience and stuff. And I like this Leah.
I like her too. I think she's interesting. I thought this scene was good. She's interesting, she's funny, yeah, I think she's like a good addition. I'm not sure about I would rather Leah scenes than Shanique scenes.
You don't like I like Shanique. I think she's funny. She's pretty cute. Yeah.
She's like whatever to me. So then we go
Britton and her daughter go to like a little planting place where you plant your own little plant and stuff.
That looked really cute. You know, normally I have a very adverse reaction to these sort of places, like come and do your own pottery. But I thought Le Petit Garden looked adorable, and if we weren't in the middle of a quarantine, I kind of would want to go there and plant something.
Make your own plant. Guess where else you can go? Home Depot, okay?
I know, but it feels like cute to do it at Le Petit Garden, because it's called Le Petit Garden.
Yeah, we could do it together and talk about our relish.
Yeah.
I'd be like, Ben, how do you feel about our relationship right now?
Like, I feel very optimistic, sort of like this plant in the dirt right now.
So Britt's like, okay, you've got an attitude, basically. And her kid's like, well, it's puberty, Mom, okay? Mood swings are normal. And she's like, okay, that is the reason, not the excuse, young lady. And she goes, what do you think that Grandma would have done if I gave her attitude and sassiness? She's like, she would have taken away your phone. I'm like, yeah, we didn't have phones back then, okay? She would throw a shoe in my head. That's what she'd do.
I also liked, Ivy has that, like, definitely that tweener attitude, and she's like, because they have to pick out a planter first, and Britton's like, oh, this one looks cute. Do you like this sort of, like, Afrocentric, sort of your roots? And she's like, I'm looking for something more modern, mother. She's like, you know what, today I had to help out like the kindergartners with their homework, and this one girl, she like rolled her eyes at me, mother. And Britton's like, she rolled her eyes at you? And she's like, yes. It's like funny because I have a daughter who rolls her eyes at her mommy. She's like, ew.
She's like, okay, so you keep doing it, and I'm gonna take away your phone. She's like, ah.
Oh. So then we go to like a gelato bar. And this to me was my favorite scene of the episode. So Dr. Amani is there. She comes in looking like she is about to like inform on someone. She's like does. In a trench coat.
She's in a trench coat and a full on felt hat. You know, like one of those hats that kind of cover your face.
She looked like a Madeline Stowe character who was on the run in 12 Monkeys, you know? She's like, okay, Bruce Willis, they won't find us now. So she is there and Jasmine joins up and they are ordering sorbet or gelato. And Jasmine asks all these questions. And then finally, when it comes time to like give her that scoop, she's like, I'm actually on a diet. So I'm just going to have you put it in this. This is all I want. And she pulls out one of those little like taster cups from like of like a Pinkberry, like a Froyo spot.
Yeah. Or like the thing that the doctor gives you your pills in, you know, like one of those tiny little paper
cups. It's like
cups.
A thimble. It's a thimble. She basically pulls out a thimble. She's like, can I have it in this, please? And Dr. Armani's like, are you crazy? Are you certifiably crazy? And she asks for a little spoon on top of that. She asks for a little spoon for her little taster cup.
Yeah, and Jasmine's like, well, one thing you won't say about me is that I don't reach my goals because I want abs. How do I do that? I carry around taster cups.
Yeah, I carry taster cups in places that have ice cream. So there we go.
I do appreciate goals. People like her because she shows you that it actually is work. You know, she's not someone who's like, this is effortless. I just am hot, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like a constant. It's all day long, you know? What am I going to eat? I can only eat out of this. She brings her own fucking taster's cup. She carries around a blood test so she can do blood sugar tests to see if she's still in ketosis.
Yeah, it's great. It reminds you about just how empty her life is and how miserable she probably is at all times, which is probably why she smiles so much. And that made me feel really good about my choices to make banana muffins.
So Amani talks to her a little bit and she starts questioning about the ex and stuff, and she's like, do you guys even have phone sex? Like, what do you do? And then she's like, not really. And they show a clip of him showing her his armpit on FaceTime. Yeah.
I actually have sex with my phone sex with my husband. It usually goes like this. Hey, do you wanna take this taster cup and fill it up a little bit? I'm on a diet, actually. We can't do any more phone sex. I actually am not burning enough calories during this.
Air popped popcorn.
Ooh, I want you to prick me with your ketosis monitor. Ooh, yes.
So Amani's like, yeah, well, he's never really been the most overtly sexual person. And Justin's like, he's an R&B singer. So that's like kind of his job.
Yeah, pretty much. At which point, in the middle of this conversation where they're bonding, she pulls out her blood sugar monitor and pricks herself. And she's like, I just have to always make sure I'm in fat burning mode. Otherwise, I guess I have to face the realities of my life. So, oh, good, I'm in fat burning mode. Okay, never mind.
And Amani's like, do you feel this behavior is in any way egregious? And she goes, what's that? She goes, extra. She goes, oh my God, my lines are perfect.
Egregious? No thanks. I actually don't like extra cheese. Sorry.
So then it's the day of Shanique's birthday. So she goes over to Jasmine's house and tries to guess what she's going to be doing. But she's got a little cowboy hat. She's like, am I going to be riding a metal bull or something?
Also, I have to say, one thing that I think we have to look forward to as all these Bravo shows are like rushing to meet their deadlines, because apparently they're all totally behind because people are working from home and it's just like putting together these shows is taking a lot longer. And I think one thing that we have to be really excited for are blatant editing errors. So in this case, Shanique shows up at Jasmine's house. They go inside and they're talking. And then for like 4 seconds, there's like a cutaway to a wall. No. It's like the camera's like on an angle and it's just like the exterior wall right by the doorbell. Like they're inside talking. And it's like, oh, okay. It's like, remember on Summer House when there was a random shot where they were like, let's go out to party, party, party. And then there was like a sideways shot of Hannah for 5 seconds on screen, just staring at the camera. It's like, clearly the editors have forgotten to take some temporary like placeholders out.
So she's trying to guess, and she's like, are these boots cute? She's like, yeah, they're cute. Oh my god, look at this belt. Is this belt cute? Oh my god, the belt is so cute. Is my vest cute? Oh my god, your vest is so cute. These two. My god, with these two. They even do their talking head things together. Their interviews.
I know. That's so cute. Oh my god, I love that we're doing this together. It's so cute. Wait. Can you take my blood sugar levels? That'd be so cute.
So Dr. Robert shows up at the horse place where he's going to have her birthday party. And then we're back to Dr. Imani. And Britt shows up. She's all ready to go. She's got a riding crop and everything. And Imani's just in her bathrobe, all depressed.
Yeah. And we know, I think like we all know immediately what's happening. Like, as soon as she opens that door and she's in that bathrobe and talking like this, we're like, yep.
Yeah.
That's a divorce robe.
Yeah, and that's what it is. She basically told him she's sick of, you know, begging for him, and that's it.
Yeah, she's like, I have abandonment issues, and if you don't want to spend time with me, I'm not going to beg you to spend time with me. And that goes for anyone, whether it's my husband or not. And she basically asked for a divorce. And I actually say, good for you. Good for you. Like, you are way, way, way too much of a prize to be with this guy showing his armpit on FaceTime.
Yes, amen. And that brings us to the end of Married to Medicine Los Angeles.
Y'all, thank you very much, everyone, for listening. We always appreciate your support. Go support some of those businesses that we shouted at the top of the episode or on any of the previous episodes. And we'll be back tomorrow with yet another show.
Bye, everyone.